Welcome to the 232 podcast. I'm Sean.
And I'm Carl.
This podcast is about books, reading, and the meaning of life.
Today, we unpack another book because you know what they say.
Too many books.
Too little time.
Welcome back to the 232 podcast. And we've got a doozy today.
We have got a doozy. I've been looking forward to this all.
This is one of your little things, isn't it? Well, which is good.
Yeah,
this is good.
We signaled it when we talked about the books of the year. So
yeah,
we're going to talk about Walter Mosley.
Yes, and we'll start on the book Devil in a Blue Dress.
Yeah.
Noting that it's the first book in a long series. I'm picking 15 books.
Yes. Yeah. So,
Tell me the story of when you bumped into. How did you find this? Because this is.
So I only found this last year.
Yeah.
I don't say this often to many people, but one of my great pleasures is to read hard-boiled detective noir.
Which is exactly
what exactly this is. I mean, I love Chandler when I was, I don't know, an undergrad. And so Raymond Chandler obviously is one of the greats of this genre. And Dashiell Hammett, love them, love all these people. And there have been so many people that have, so many white writers that have copied them. Right.
Like
you can draw a line from those guys to almost any modern.
So there's a family.
Yeah.
Almost like a family tree out of this.
So, so Chandler is, a heroic, underestimated character. He's wisecracking. He's a man of integrity in a city of corruption.
Right.
And it's really important for the Chandler, the Chandler universe that it's set in LA.
Yes.
Because LA is a frontier.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
so it's
right.
A city of corruption and a city of opportunity.
And there's that line down
these mean streets.
Yes.
You know, he walks. So Chandler sets his books before the war.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
Largely.
So 20s,
30s. 30s, 30s, right.
Yeah.
So that's great. Chandler's great. You've got to read Chandler. We love him to bits. Mosley's books are set just after the war in LA.
Yes. In the 50s.
But his detective, Ezekiel Rawlings, Easy Rawlings, is a black man.
Yes.
So the books enable us not just to have all of that crime, the man of integrity surrounded by corruption, but also
what America looked like through the eyes of a black man. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's been one of the joys of my reading arc of 2023. So what I'm doing now is I read a Mosley novel, go off and read some other books.
Yeah.
And then order another Mosley novel. I'm about 7 through them. And as you said, there's 15. So this will keep me going for another couple of years.
Yeah, this is great. Yeah.
Now, we should say Mosley's a great writer and has written lots of things other than the Ezekiel, the Easy Rawlings books.
Yeah.
And he's won awards for Africa.
So is he, in terms of genre fiction, is his thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
He hasn't gone outside of that.
And what's interesting, what I love about this is you read the books and it's so obvious that he's inspired by Chandler. But then when you go and read up on Mosley, he says that reading Chandler changed his life.
Right.
You know, like reading the, you know, The Long Goodbye.
Yeah.
You know, actually.
So, and were they around at the same time or no?
No,
so
no. Mosley's born.
Yes.
Chandler was writing around the Second World War, and then after the Second World War, he became a script writer.
Right.
Mosley was writing in the 90s.
Yes, well, Mosley is born in 52.
Yeah, that's the amazing thing.
And in this book,
yeah.
Devil in a Blue Dress is 1990.
So think about how hard he must work to make it so evocative. Like,
that's a really good point.
Yeah, so he sets them in Watts and those parts of LA where, you know, no white cops would go.
Yeah.
Before the freeways.
Yes.
Right? It's, you know, the speakeasies. The land of prohibition.
Yeah,
corruption.
and that's the great stuff. So Mosley was raised in LA. He has a black father and a Jewish mother, and you know, and the stuff that you sent through really raises that he grew up in the middle of this stuff.
Yes,
and he would have been seeing it with his father.
Yep.
And kind of living it to some extent. He wasn't himself a black, soon-to-be private eye from the South. But the issues that he's talking about are very real, and the scenes are probably very real, aren't they?
So I love I love Chandler and I love Mosley because their prose sparkles.
Mm.
The descriptions are amazing.
Oh, for sure.
Like they're like they're easy reading and it's clever. But as a social scientist, they're both critiquing the world they live in, right?
Mm.
But Mosley's adding something to the critique that Chandler, that critique of it's a corrupt society, you know, good, you know.
Well, the frontier town.
Yeah, it's a frontier town, you know, where, you know, good men die like dogs.
Yes. It's lines, isn't it? Yeah.
But, so we can't talk too much about the plot of The Devil in the Blue Dress.
No, no. We'll leave that because it is a great one. Yeah. But your point around the prose and the description.
Go on.
I told you I was writing some notes in what I was feeling. I could smell the smoky clubs and taste the whiskey. That's what I wrote.
Oh, no.
Because you just, and like a really good fiction book, you read it and you start drawing pictures in your mind and gathering things that you've either seen or imagined or whatever. Like, I mean, I haven't been in. But
it's evocative, right? It's just so incredible. So what's interesting is Chandler's plots are famously Byzantine, right? So much so that in one of his famous books, it's called The Big Sleep. And the reason I'm telling you this is because obviously Devil in the Blue Dress is like this, right?
Yeah.
It's not really clear who's doing what.
Mm.
Somebody once asked Chandler in an interview who killed the chauffeur in The Big Sleep, and he didn't know.
He's written himself into a real tingle.
Like just in circles, right?
Yeah.
What does it matter? it's a bit like that. And, this is a great, it's a great way to start reading Mosley, right?
Oh, for sure. And it's a time, it's a time travel. We've talked about, when we've talked about fiction in the past, we've talked about that, transport to another place or whatever. This is a transporting you into society in the 50s, post-war, inner urban black communities, civil rights emerging.
So,
I'm
not going to make this argument, but you could make an argument that Mosley's even better than Chandler because Mosley does everything Chandler does, plus he gives you a different dimension to that underbelly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the thing that Mosley does that Chandler never does is he talks about the value of friendship to deal with those circumstances. So,
he's got
that psychotic friend Mouse, who would do anything to save him and help him, and is he scared of Mouse half the time, even though he's his best friend, right?
Yeah.
That power of friendship.
Yeah.
And also, the way that Easy Rawlings is so in love with having a house, his kind of
his sanctuary.
And you see none of that in Chandler.
Yeah, you
get none of that in Chandler.
Yeah, because, we won't talk about the immersion, but it's the emergence of a character, isn't it? This is the first book introducing the character. You even finish the book and you're still like, I don't know this guy.
And
he's a little,
and he's very human, right? You like him and respect him, but you're not sure that you want to befriend him.
Yeah.
So what again? I'm pretty sure I studied Chandler as part of an American literature paper at university, but people talk about what Chandler did is he took detective fiction and he elevated it to literature.
Right.
Like he actually took it and changed it. And the sociological trick's really interesting because people were writing detective stories before him. Agatha Christie, H.G. Wells,
Holmes,
all those people, right?
Yeah.
But in all of those stories, at the end of the story, the social order is restored.
Mm.
Whatever the social order was at the beginning,
interesting.
The crime is solved
and everything's back to normal.
Lots of these books, there's no restoration,
bad
people get away with doing bad things.
Yeah.
Good people end up dead.
Mm.
It's very.
And it hasn't stopped, has it? That's the thing.
It hasn't stopped.
Yeah. Fascinating. So, and this is the thing. It's like, it's the language and the slang, and it's a bit rough around the edges as well. It's written.
I call it a musicality. I know it's a bullshit word, but there's a musicality to their writing, to Mosley's writing and Chandler's writing that I just love.
Yeah, and they're quite distinct, are they?
They're very similar. It's clear that Mosley loves Chandler.
Right.
And takes it in a different place, but writes in the same way, writes his dialogue in the same way.
Very descriptive. Few lines.
Go on.
Ricardo's was just a hole in the wall with no windows and only one door. So Ricardo's is a club.
Yeah.
There's no name out front because you either knew where Ricardo's was or you didn't belong there at all. It's like, it's so good. It's so good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just some, yeah, nobody knew what I was up to. And that sort of made me invisible. People thought they saw me, but what they really saw was an illusion of me, something that wasn't real. It's like, whoa. Yeah. That's quite profound stuff, eh?
Yeah. So it's interesting. Like, there are a number of fiction writers who I will read everything that they write.
Right. So this is.
And we talked about some of those in the past.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem with Dashiell Hammett, he didn't write very much. Chandler didn't write very much. You know, some other people have done this really well. I really like Peter Temple, for instance. But I think Mosley's the kind of guys. I'm going to read every Easy Rulings novel.
Yeah.
And the one recently. This is almost a cliche, but Mick Herron and the Slow Horses series.
Mm.
Like, I'll just read every one of those books. Mm. They're just so clever. But he does the same sort of thing, right? It's almost like an anti-John le Carré is the way that he sets up his books.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. It's good.
How can you read this? There's no pictures.
Well, some people use their imagination.
I mean, this is the thing. Fiction is one of those things where, you know, like we've always said, read fiction.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good reasons to read fiction, and we'll pick that theme up in a future episode as well, in another angle. But the thing with fiction is, if you find someone you love the writing of, it's just a dream, isn't it? You know, because you're kind of like, I know what I'm going to get here. Yeah,
but it's not even that, right? So yes. But he's constructed characters that I care deeply about. Yeah. I mean, everyone cares about.
Well, that's
everyone cares about Marlowe, Chandler's hero.
Yeah.
Like, he's become, you know, the kind of definitive gumshoe guy.
Mm.
But Easy Rawlings is a character that you end up really caring about, really rooting for. Right?
Yeah, and
you
this know, is the power.
Like, if Mosley kills him off in the end, I'm going to be really annoyed.
Well, we're going to wait and find out, aren't we? But but no, I absolutely loved it. The other thing is, I loved, you know, the barbershop is the hub of the community.
Yes.
It's like, yes. Yeah. You know, like, it really kicks back to some really, really interesting things.
So interesting. When we were getting ready for this episode, I did a bit of research, and Mosley's not the first African-American writer to write about detective fiction from a black point of view.
Okay.
There's a guy called Chester Himes, who I've never heard of.
Right.
But as a result of preparing for this podcast, I've ordered a couple of his books.
Oh,
just to see what he's like. Like, and apparently people talk about Chester Himes the way they talk about Chandler and Hammett.
This is good.
Bring it on.
So we've now got three book series. Yeah. So, interesting in the comparison to other protagonists. So the idea that we've got this, you know, like, we're on the shoulders of giants here. Yeah. You know, you've talked about a lineage from Chandler to Mosley. Yeah. Where do we put the reaches? And you know, we've talked about Reacher before. And
so, I mean, my problem with Reacher is my problem with Sherlock Holmes, which is he's almost superhuman.
Mm.
Like, and I'm loving the new adaptation of Reacher on Amazon Prime. Yes. But the problem is, what's the kryptonite?
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
You know, I think you told me this. The problem with inventing Superman as a comic book hero is you can't defeat him.
Mm.
Which you had to invent kryptonite.
Mm.
So there's a weakness, right?
Yeah.
The thing about Reacher is that he seems to have no weakness.
Right.
You know,
that's a good point.
Superhuman guy, lives on his own, you know, you can't hurt him, he doesn't have a family.
Mm.
That's not what people are like. You know,
that's not very real world, is it?
That's right. Yeah. Whereas, you know, Chandler, Marlowe likes a drink, you know.
Yeah. They've got their flaws,
absolutely,
haven't they?
You know,
and their weaknesses.
It's easy to seduce.
Yeah.
You know, it's always after money.
Yeah.
You know, Easy Rawlings is always looking for an angle.
Yeah.
You know, like they're much more human.
So can you think of any more modern fiction books where
the famous one is Jackson Lamb and the Slow Horses series by Mick Herron.
Yeah.
And that what's hilarious about that is clearly Mick Herron is actually creating an anti John le Carré.
Yeah.
Right. So he obviously loves John le Carré the way that Mosley loves Chandler.
Yeah.
And what Mick Herron's done beautifully is he's made Jackson Lamb as kind of an anti George Smiley, who's John le Carré's guy. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's made him he's such a smelly, foul mouth,
right,
drunken
right.
but excellent spy.
Interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
If you're not reading McHeron, we have to talk to you about McHeron.
Yeah, we might need to. I think there's a lot of things I haven't read.
Yeah, I know.
but this is good.
Lots you have. I mean, you know, this feels like sheer indulgence to me. I love this stuff so much.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not. I mean, it's also there are. And all of these things, and Mick Herron, and Peter Temple, who's Australian, and Chandler and Mosley, there's a really trenchant sociological critique in here about government, about society, about attitudes, about things we take for granted.
Yeah.
And I love it. And I've often thought, as a social scientist, that the humanities have just as much to say sociologically, obviously, as the research does.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah. Ah, fascinating. Fascinating. And maybe that's the beauty of it, isn't it? Is that because of the stuff that's woven in, and, you know, like particularly the experience of Mosley.
Yes.
And the fact that he, you know, Easy would be his father's generation. And I guess the stuff he saw around him and the whole, you know, like the and the social commentary of, you know.
Well, what's easy to forget? Easy. I didn't mean that as a pun. What's easy to forget is if you were a young soldier at the Battle of the Bulge, you were 22 in 1944, you're only going to be 40 in 1960. Think about that, right? So you're going to go from being a war veteran to watching civil rights and the hippies in a span of between your 20s and your late 40s.
Yeah, and that's in Devil in a Blue Dress as well, processing it.
And those later books. Every later book is set further and further
in the processing future. What that means, isn't it? Because he, you know, like in some respects, the character had a life that wasn't very real and he didn't know what it meant, did he? Yes. You know, like his experiences, you know, as a soldier and
which
he
is
just
exactly
went and did it.
Well, that dislocation is exactly what veterans would have felt.
Sure.
But I love the idea. I mean, one of the themes that runs through the books, obviously, is that, you know, Mosley, having been in Europe and being treated differently as a black man, you know, where there isn't that kind of racism, and realizing that everybody bleeds the same way. He talks, there's that great story where he fights a German soldier and has to kill him.
Yeah.
You know, actually, you know, feels empowered.
Yeah.
You know, like, actually, I'm just as good a man as any man.
Yeah.
You know, and he comes back to America where everybody treats him on the basis of his skin color.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
I love it. I think, I mean, again, look, I'm
did
sure.
Did you find, are there moments where you did feel awkward around some of the themes?
Of course. I mean, of course you do. I mean, there are moments throughout the books. So we should have said that Mosley, before he joins the military and goes to Europe, starts out in Texas and leaves Texas because of the absolute racism in Texas.
Yes.
You know, the way he's treated and the language that's used, just every day, kind of.
And he was one of, well, millions.
Yeah, and people being killed and with no consequences.
Yeah.
I mean, that's uncomfortable. But, you know, in the same way that Chandler's stuff about corruption, about people getting in the way of the powerful people in LA is also really uncomfortable, you know, like particularly the way that young women are treated,
absolutely.
Gay people are treated.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a completely different world.
Yes.
But I love it. Unfortunately, I can't remember who turned me on to Mosley. Or how I got turned on to Mosley. But I'm really, whoever did, I'm really glad.
Yeah.
It was one of my highlights of 2023.
All right. So who, if you're out there and we need to know. That's right.
Books. I need my books.
Just a highly recommendation, you know, on the drink front. Yeah. The McNean Organic Single Malt Scotch Whiskey, which we're
going down a treat.
Yes, and it kind of feels appropriate.
It feels appropriate.
To have a little nip of
whiskey. The other thing, right? So the other things that are interesting about those books, sociologically, everybody smokes.
Yes,
all the time, and everybody drinks.
Yeah,
it's like, how did anybody get anything done?
Well, it was done in the clubs.
Yeah,
true. So.
Well, so, no, I mean, Marlowe has a bottle in his bottom drawer, right? And every time he talks to a detective, they do too. I should say just quickly, there is a movie of a...
Yes.
Right, Devil
Denzel.
And Richards. Yeah. And
Don Cheadle.
It was highly rated. I didn't love it.
Yeah, interesting.
And
so when did you watch it? Did you...
After I read the book.
Right, yeah.
And maybe
yeah.
that's the problem, right? I mean, my problem's always... Whenever I read the book, there's a movie playing in my head.
Mm.
And then when I see the movie, it's not the same as the movie playing in my head.
Yeah, I think.
And only a few times in my life have those movies aligned, like the movie in my head with the movie on the screen.
But well, it's an age-old problem, isn't it? So maybe you went to the movie too soon. Or should you go at all?
Would you go first?
I would say no, because I actually think that ruins the ability to read a fiction book and build the picture in your head, I think is an experience you don't want to ruin.
Right.
Well, I would argue you don't want to ruin.
Right.
There's not many things like that, is there? Because, I mean, we see...
What does Mackenzie think of the Harry Potter movies?
Well, she's... She read the book before she saw it. She's not really big into it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But she reads lots of books where, you know, like she is creating things in her head, which I think is a really important thing, you know, like not to be ruined by Hollywood or
somebody else's
interpretations.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, in my head, you know, Easy Rawlings wasn't Denzel Washington.
Although he's a bad man.
And they made a movie very recently called Marlowe, which was based on a short story, Chandler short story, and they got that Irish actor. What's his name? The man with I've got very special skills.
I'm terrible.
Yeah, right. Liam.
Oh, Liam Neeson.
Yeah, Liam Neeson playing Marlowe, and it's like that. He's tall. He's tough.
Yeah,
but that's a terrible.
Did he have a special voice that he always uses as terrible. Well? Like the tough guy voice.
That's a bit like Tom Cruise's Reacher. Like, come on. Well, have you read the books?
yeah. I think the whole world felt that that was a.
Whereas the current guy playing him in the TV series looks like he's carved out of muscle. Looks like the Incredible Hulk. Also, doesn't look real.
That's right. But it fits with the book. Yeah. So,
but listen, as I said, highlight of 2023. I love these books. I'm on a Mosley adventure.
Yeah, and you were. And it was so funny when we did that. We had to pick our three.
Yeah.
You were like, oh god. And we're like, no, it's okay. Yeah. It's okay, Carl. We'll do a special.
and we don't get to talk about fiction much.
No.
Yeah.
No, and it's a hard one, but you know what? We've done our fiction for the series. I think it's good. There will be more.
Yes. I mean, we can't stop with this, but no, it's a strong recommendation from me.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a, you know, like I know who put me on to
it. I just wish I did.
Yeah. Well, it was you. So there you go. Okay. Yeah, but if you're out there, whoever you are, random person who put Carl onto this, then happy days. You've started something. Yeah. So.
No, this gave me a great deal of joy. And it's still giving me a great deal of joy.
All right. And that's a great place to end, the joy of reading. So thanks again, Carl. Right. I loved it. Sure.
Thank you for listening to the 232 podcast.
We'll be back soon with another book, unpacked, distilled, and unhinged.
But until then,
stop, read, and repeat.